Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hello there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today as we discuss matters of the heart. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord declared that He looks at the heart. He doesn't look at our outer appearance. Psalm 26:2 says, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart." And 2 Corinthians 13 says that we should examine our hearts to see if we are in the faith. The heart is where God looks when He examines us, and that's where we should look to examine ourselves. So join in the conversation as we discuss how blessed are those who examine their heart. I want to start us off today, Janie, by looking at Hebrews in 3:7. It says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." In 15, it says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." And then two more times in chapter 4, we have those same words given. And today, I'd like to talk about our hearts, because as we go through trials and struggles and situations that maybe we don't understand, instead of pointing a finger out, it's important for us to point in and say, what is in my heart that God wants to mold and shape and get rid of? Let me hear Your voice, Lord, that my heart would not be hard.
Sharon, do you find a time in your life as you have grown in the Lord, as you are a work in progress, and even though you're shaping up very beautifully, neither one of us have attained to the completeness. That's why we're still here. But have you seen how your heart has been hardened at any point in your life and how it has softened? And what process that you may have had to experience?
Well, I will say that phrase, "I'm a work in progress," is kind of a pet peeve of mine, because it tends to be the same progress continually. And if we are going to be a work in progress, we should be progressing. Well, and the people that I tend to hear that from go through the same process over and over and never progress, if that makes any sense at all.
And I think you've just described some Christians remain static. They may have their security in Christ, but they never change. They never get dynamic. So why is it that some just want to hang out with a static IP?
I think until you experience what it is to grow in Him, then there's not the desire to keep growing. So it just takes one time to say, what should I learn from this lesson? How should I apply this to my walk with You, Lord, that I can be molded and shaped into Your image?
Well, you know, you've just described with your words a concept that my little six-year-old grandson asked me one day when we were riding down the road. Now, he was in very deep thought, and all of a sudden he just says, "Grandma, what would I look like if I was always good?"
Oh, how neat.
And at that time, I realized that at 6 years old, there was something drawing him. Mm-hmm. There was a conscience having a need to know what he should look like. What would be his role model? Is he to hang on to somebody's shirt tail, to learn from? But he was already searching in his little heart what his identity was to be,
right,
his foundation.
Right.
So I think we need to recognize that very subtly, the Lord is constantly placing those thoughts in our head. And what do we do with them? Do we entertain them and start to say, let me go where I need to find out? Coda at that time did not know where to go in the Bible.
Right.
So he was looking for someone to go ask.
Well, you know, I think, Jenny, you said riding a shirt tail, and I think that that is a place that many of us as Christians tend to find somebody to ride on their shirt tail for a little while. to learn how to be a Christian, to learn where to go in Scripture. And, you know, we talk about having a shepherd to follow, but, you know, as believers, looking back over my Christian journey, I can say that there were women in my life that, man, they were, I saw them as mighty in the Lord, and man, I just jumped on their shirt tail and rode as far as I could go. So I think that there's some value in finding that mentor, you know, to ride their shirt tail for a while to see, how do I get to the good waters, you know?
We should hang with those mentors as they are teaching us, recognizing they are still in the learning process too. We are to be guiding lights to one another as we grow, but we always have to be the guiding light that takes us back to the person of Jesus Christ.
Well, and I think that as far as being a mentor, it's not about teaching that person as much as it is about living before them the person of Christ. So as you strive for being an image of Christ, those who are following you or riding your shirt tail are mimicking you to being the image of Christ.
Well, and Paul even said it one time in the Scriptures. He said, follow me. Do as I do. He says, imitate me. Now, we can't live a whole life on the imitation of Christ. Right. We have to have the reality. But we do need to see a guide as to what he looks like. And that's what the Scriptures do provide for us.
As long as while we're riding that shirt tail, we eventually learn how to walk that trail. And we eventually learn how to find the waters on our own, because, you know, you can't ride your grandma's shirt tail to heaven, right? So I think that gets a bad rap. So nobody wants to get on anybody's shirt tail. But I don't think there's anything wrong with riding someone's shirt tail as long as you're watching where you're going, where they're going, and how to get there, and eventually learn to walk on your own.
Well, Sharon, if you're really battling pride, then you have to be willing to know some humility, to be willing to listen to someone that might be in your own church or in your own Sunday school class, or just a good friend of a neighbor. And if you're battling looking good and having a good Christian attitude, then pride can keep you from hearing and listening and then taking heed to do.
And so it goes back to the heart. It goes back to the heart of the person.
Well, the heart is a key element, and I'm glad you brought that up. We are told in the Scriptures, and rightfully so, to guard our hearts, because out of it proceed all the issues of life. But we have also looked at another truth that is equally as important, and that is, like in Romans 12, which I think is one of your favorite passages, that we need to renew our minds so that we can operate with a joyful heart, with a heart that is listening and not grieving the Spirit, walking after the fruit of the Spirit. But there's a twist there that we need to really hold in balance, and that is that we have been taught, and rightfully so now, Sharon, that the mind is where the battleground is for our souls and our spirit.
Right.
All right? But what we haven't probably held in balance is that the heart dictates to the mind, and we have a tendency to say the mind tells the heart.
If
you go back in and look at any of the medical experts in today's world, they will even tell you, which I learned this recently and it was surprising, that many times people who are suffering from dementia, the mind, the brain, have a heart problem.
Oh, wow.
And that's,
and we're not talking an actual heart beat, like the heart that pumps your...
Well, actually,
are they?
That is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but they also tell you that the heart goes deeper than just the four valves or the four
All right. So this is an actual heart issue rather than a brain issue.
It is a heart issue, but the heart talks. If we go back to Hebrews 4:12, and it tells us that the heart is a discerner of the mind and the intents and our thoughts. And the way that, let me just read that for you, Sharon, because
for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Well, how we want to read this based on how we are many times taught is that the word of God's sharper than a two-edged sword and is a discerner and thoughts and intents of the mind. But it doesn't say mind.
No.
It says hearts.
Yes.
So the heart really does talk to the mind. And many times where we get into a issue is that we believe if we understand with our mind, we understand.
Oh.
And the heart's left untouched.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so
we're understanding things with our mind, and then it's not going to the heart.
And so that means we really don't have to deal with our flesh. It means as long as I understand, and that's why we can sit in church and literally listen to good sound teaching for maybe decades and still be battling our flesh and not progressing. We're with that static IP, not the dynamic.
So we get an understanding with our head. We get head knowledge, but we don't get any understanding with application of our heart to our lives.
That's true. And one of the profound verses that says so much about that is just Proverbs 23:7. And it says, as a man, or it could be a woman, boy, or girl, as a man thinketh, so is he. So as we think, that's who we're going to become.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible tells us that guard your heart. Again, Proverbs 4:23. Mm-hmm. Guard your heart, because out of it proceed all the issues of life.
Right.
So
right.
When I have a bad attitude and I'm thinking, oh, I just need to say a different verse, which will help. If we haven't dealt with the heart, then we're still going to be in a losing battle. And one of the things, Sharon, that I have found over the decades, but I see it being magnified in the days that we're living in right now, and that is when we're doing battle with the change of our culture, we need to go back and say that our warfare has just intensified. It's always been there, but it's becoming a deeper level of the battle, you know.
And we've got to be more prepared.
That's true.
And we fight harder.
And one of the ways that we have to prepare is realize that many times when we are in a battle and we recognize it, we know we're saying nice Christianese words, but we know that we've got some real issues in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We need to recognize that we're dealing with unseen forces.
So do you think that our preparation really needs to be getting our hearts really right first? Because we can't go into battle if we have sin and unforgiveness and issues that we have to deal with in our hearts. We're powerless, don't you think?
Well, Sharon, I would say if no one heard anything from this whole however many minutes we're here, if they heard you say, we have got to deal with our hearts, then this broadcast has not been in vain. All right?
Well, I just think that too many times we as Christians have a finger pointing out, and we ignore the three that are pointing back at us saying, you know what? It's right here in the intent of my heart that I need to deal with the sin, with where God wants me to grow, where God needs me to change, so that I can stand on the battlefield with my helmet, my sword, with my shield, with my belt and my shoes, and go into battle the right way.
And that armor, Sharon, is really that you've just mentioned, that armor is all different aspects of the character of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put the armor on, we're putting on the attributes of Christ. Why? so that we can come up against unseen forces. We deal with unseen forces according to Ephesians 6 every day because it says that our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. So when I have a problem with someone, I need to recognize that problem goes beyond just the outward evidence that I'm seeing it with that person. If I don't like their personality, if I don't like what they're doing, I need to look beyond that to say, where is the unseen battle being fought? And it's got to, first of all, come from my heart, mm-hmm. that my heart is right. Second of all, the first thing I need to do once I know my heart is right is to be in prayer for that situation. And sometimes you may have to do a lot of praying before you've even got a handle on the situation. But I'm finding that saints are perplexed, overwhelmed, discouraged, wanting to retreat, curl up in the ball, because they do not recognize when they're coming up against spiritual warfare. They're just wanting to deal with the temporal situation.
Well, I tell you, Janie, that when we respond to others, we have to look at our own heart to see what maybe God might be putting us in contact with that person to bring out the things that are already in our heart to say, okay, I am dealing with anger in my heart, and this person has brought that anger to the surface. So, Lord, what is it that is in my heart that I need to repent of? And so many times we point the finger at somebody else who made me do something, and that is not true. We choose to act that way, to react that way.
So the next time somebody says, and it could be a child, he makes me so mad, you can say, well, that's impossible. If you already have something that is making you mad, it's already in your heart, mm-hmm. and that person is just a tool to expose it to you. Now, what's our biblical base for that kind of thinking, Sharon? We can flip over to Romans 2, mm-hmm. and I just happened to flip. Okay. So it says, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are to judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. And when we take that one verse and say, what is it that I don't like in that person? The Lord's saying, well, if you're having a problem with that, look at yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like what somebody else is doing, it's because it's a light to you. And sometimes, Sharon, from my own personal failures, when three or four people do the same thing that I don't like, it's like 4th of July firecrackers going off. You better be looking at your own heart.
Well, and I think that the reason why we do that is because we want to shuck responsibility. It can't be my fault. I am not responsible. So therefore, it must be someone else. And if we do that, Janie, then we are building a wall that will harden our hearts and prevent us from hearing the Lord.
And one of the steps in this hardening process, Sharon, is still in Romans 2, but it's over in verse 15. It says that those who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between them either accusing or excusing.
Oh, yeah.
So the thoughts that I want to bring out there is the conscience is tied to the heart, because it says, who show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. So let's say we know that we're supposed to do something. It's like it says in Hebrews 4 today, if you hear my voice, do not harden. Mm-hmm. And we think, okay, I heard that voice today, but I don't really want to listen to it. You have started the first trip of hardening your conscience. Mm. And once the conscience says, oh, there's no consequences here,
right,
you've started your path of bitterness. Whether you recognize it right or not, it will eventually wind up being a path of bitterness in your life, which defiles all that are around you. But it goes back to today. Act because your conscience is speaking. My little grandson had a conscience needing to know what he would look like if he was always good. And we always have to go back to Jesus Christ, but there's so many times that we have not been willing to be vulnerable to what our conscience is saying. And then we need to go back to, I think, what is probably woman to woman's favorite chapter, Psalms 19.
Yeah.
And that is, we need to be willing to be available and vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
and saying, Lord, show me what my hidden heart problems are. Show me my secret faults. There's something troubling me. I'm frustrated. Yeah. I'm defensive. There's something that I can tell I'm resisting, but I don't know what it is, Lord. I can't put a handle on it. So show me what my hidden faults are. And then he will. His word guarantees mm-hmm. it. But then, Sharon, we're circling our scriptures. So if he shows you today, you better hearken. Or right. you'll start that conscience to tribulating, and then the conscience will eventually become paralyzed, Sharon, so that it won't even hear.
So we're not even hearing the Lord after a little while. We're just going through this routine, this ritualistic Christianity. These are the things that I'm supposed to do, and we're not growing.
And I'm not going to get into details here, but I do know a person who chose to spend hours in the scripture without following the process we've just described, and wound up living an immoral life, believing all the time that they were super saints. Now that's where the sin of unbelief can take us, that we can just
complete deception.
Yeah.
Can't even see yourself.
But it started with not listening today when you hear the voice of the Lord. And you can hear it as you apply the scriptures. And if you hearken, even if you don't have to always understand, there's scriptures that I've read mm-hmm. that it took me a while to really grasp it. In fact, I gave a scripture to somebody a couple of days ago, and they came back and said, well, Janie, I don't know how you got that out of what you said from that scriptures. I need some explanation. And when I gave it to them, they went, wow, why couldn't I have seen that? Mm-hmm. Well, they needed to ride on my shirt tail for just a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah.
But they had a hungry heart.
Right.
They had a hungry heart. They wanted their mind and their brain to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they saw it, they said, wow, I know what to do with this now. And their conscience now could work with their heart and their spirit to bring them into a growth.
And just learning how to walk on their own.
Yes.
In situations. So looking at our hearts, allowing God to show us those secret places, those hidden sins, those dark places that we're blind to, that we don't even see, but we have to have a willingness. So what prevents us, Janie, from having the willingness to look at our heart?
Well, and that same verse that you were talking about, the hidden faults, it also says, and prevent me from having presumptuous sins. And to answer your questions, I believe there's times that we have established a lifestyle of not listening, which is called presumptuous. A presumptuous okay. sin is knowing that I have this bitterness and I'm not going to deal with it. I have a right to my bitterness. I have a right to my unforgiveness. So we go from hidden okay. faults to purposeful choices to remain in blindness, which then brings us into unbelief of not being able to hear. So let's just know your heart. And the way you know your heart is by examining your heart. The Bible tells you, examine your heart to see if you're in the faith.
Yeah.
And many times that first examining is, are you a believer from the heart? Are you a professor from the head? They've got to be talking to each other. Then the second thing we need to know is that the heart is really the governing factor that affects our minds. But the thing that ties us together is the Word of God. Ask the Lord to come to our hearts and show us how they need to be filled with His love, how they need to be purified, how they need to be disciplined, and let the Lord work through the scriptures, enlightening our mind, restoring our souls.
Absolutely. All right, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time. and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.